you're the person who's going to be doing or is doing right now the consultation or headlining the consultation about reevaluating Brock's relationship with Rodman Hall. So can you tell us a little bit about who else is on that committee putting that together and who you've consulted with so far in the community? And maybe just a little bit about the framework in play, because, for example, what's been said is that the report will be presented, I believe, in June or July.
Yeah, it's going to be in June.
Okay, so could you tell us a little bit about the framework and the background on this?
Well, I guess, you know, the background is fairly simple. There was a report was done last year by Janice Barlow and Associates in response to the direction from the board at Brock to basically, I guess, which has gone to every department at the university, whereby they're trying to sort of align their budgets with the current realities. And so I guess it has filtered down to even Rodman Hall that the board had asked for reductions in subsidies to the various programs. And the Rodman Hall team and advisory board put together another group who had hired, you know, Janice Barlow and associates to come up with a report to work on a business plan to conform to what the board had asked this everybody to do. As a result of that, it sort of was indicated that Rodman Hall was going to be able to reduce its dependency on monies from Brock to the point of about $200,000 a year in a three-year time frame. But this was also predicated by having a host of initiatives developed and to have a fundraising campaign in place that would see the development of a $10 to $12 million endowment. So to put it sort of in perspective, we just finished engagement with the City of St. Catharines on the Performing Arts Center, First Ontario Performing Arts Center, whereby we were tasked to raise $5 million out of the community to help with their capital campaign. It took us 4 years to be able to achieve that. And even though we surpassed our goal by quite a large margin, I can tell you it was a lot of hard work. Because, you know, we're talking about the arts in St. Catharines as well as in Niagara. And, for instance, the NAC will tell you that even though there is a lot of members, not a lot of members are flourishing necessarily, you know, because that sort of seems to be where the arts lives, right? So when Brock looked at the realities of the Barlow plan, I think some of the people on the advisory board were sort of not 100% certain about how to move forward. I think Stuart Reed at that point was, the point person because he was the director curator. It was felt that perhaps, you know, another consultant was required to come up with this transition plan, if you will. And a request for proposal was done. A number of consultants applied, and we were one of the consultants, and we were selected on the basis, perhaps, that our approach to the project was more a focus on self-sufficiency of Rodman Hall. And that's easier said than done, obviously.
Yeah, because one of the things I think that has to be considered here is that there is quite a sentiment in the community of suspicion, of course, because Brock had agreed to support Rodman Hall for a specific amount of time.
Yeah.
And in doing so, had actually gotten a fairly sweet deal in acquiring the center and acquiring the collection and such. So there is a certain amount of suspicion about that. A couple questions I want to put out there.
Yeah.
Who are some of the people who are setting up the framework for this? Some of the people that you've talked to. I know that your group has worked with the Art Gallery of Sarnia before as well.
Yeah.
So who are some of the people who are helping you put this together and as part of the consultation process? And if someone is listening to this and they're thinking, I would like my voice to be heard, how does that happen?
This this is, you know, the way we put our group together. It's basically my team that, as you indicated, you know, works extensively in the art sector. Currently, we have 4 art galleries and museums as clients. We also work with about 4 or 5 performing arts centers. And this is throughout Ontario, by the way. This is not just in our own area. So the people that I added to the team are a director curator who has extensive experience, you know, in that area, just so that we have that part of it covered as well, plus an architect. I also included an architect on the team, particularly since the last study that was done for Robin Hall, which goes back to 2010, is already 6 years old, and also to look at the whole AODA scenario, which is coming down in 2021. To be honest with you, find it very interesting that the community is suspicious, you know, of Brock. Because to be very fair, I think, you know, Brock is fully aware. I think the university is fully aware of the agreement that was signed 20 years ago. That was signed in 2003, which is now 13 years in its existence. But, you know, what I think, and I don't think that you were around, Bart, nor was I for that matter, but I think, you know, if you talk to the stakeholders that were involved in getting Brock to look at Robin Hall, it was in dire straits, you know, at that time. As a matter of fact, I've been told by certain people that do remember, you know, what's going on because they were involved, that they were basically bankrupt at that time. They owed a lot of money. As a matter of fact, there was no insurance on the permanent collection, believe it or not. So I think for Brock to, at that point, have stepped up and basically salvaging, you know, what was there and then start investing again was a blessing in disguise. But so that's just sort of set the record straight on that, I think. From our perspective, you know, like our mandate is really about looking at how, you know, the future of Robin Hall, and I'm looking more, to be quite honest with you, as the art gallery operations, because the people that we have been speaking to, and they have been obviously on the municipal political side, they have been on the federal political side, they have been, we had a very good exchange with Stephen one day from the NAC, you know, to sort of get his perspective on it. I have had meetings with stakeholders, community stakeholders that were donors to the PAC, because part of this model that we're sort of, or this framework that we're setting up, as you said, is that there will be funding required from the community to help out, you know, like to make sure that this becomes a sustainable model rather than the model that is currently based on, that is to have a party like Brock University supporting it 100%.
Well, one of the reasons as well for there being a certain amount of suspicion is that the process has not been as transparent or as open as maybe some would like it to be, or as perhaps some expected it to be.
I've read your article, you know, that you wrote in The Sound about what about Robin Hall. And again, you know, like, I agree with you that this is a process, and yes, it should be transparent. I mean, can everybody have input on this? Yes and no. I mean, it comes down to this. Bottom line is like, you know, how do you set, and this conversation, by the way, that I'm having with you, I'm having in many communities in southwestern Ontario. Everybody in the arts seems to sort of, particularly in the visual arts, seems to sort of be caught up in this, it's an up and down kind of world we live in. In some years, you know, things have gone really well and there's lots of money available. In some years, it's sort of the pool seems to dry up and there is not a lot of money available. And so if I compare that to, for instance, you know, art galleries in the U.S. where you see these donor walls that show the types of funding that's available for these type from individuals, as well as the foundations, we're talking a total different landscape. And so One of the things that one of the people that I spoke to, who you perhaps are familiar with, is Terry Graff. Terry Graff was a director curator at Robin Hall, I think about 10 years ago. He's currently at the Beaverbrook in Fredericton. And we were talking about, you know, what is the right model, you know, for an art gallery to sustain itself. He said he's very lucky because, you know, his endowment was started when when his gallery was founded and was built back in the 60s. The then owner, Lord Beaverbrook, who donated his permanent collection or his entire collection and the museum to the people of New Brunswick. He started his endowment with $1 million. That particular endowment today is $25 million. That $25 million represents 70% or 75% of Terry's operating budget. From his perspective, having been in the arts world for 40-plus years, that's the only way to move forward in order to guarantee that you are not beholden, you know, to brands and subsidies, which may or may not exist in the future.
I am actually familiar with Terry. He was the director of the Mendel Art Gallery for a period in Saskatoon when I was still there.
Right.
And in fact, he was one of the individuals who, when that gallery was going through a number of different proposals and different campaigns, as it now moves towards opening the Ramey Modern, I believe next year is the date for that. Bring up a few different points, specifically about funding, and that's something to consider too. And I think maybe just, I appreciate your comment about looking at things in different parts of Ontario and looking at things in different places, because some of these things are happening again and again, and that notion of funding and capital funding and funding from different stakeholders.
Yeah.
You know, for example, when you mentioned the Beaverbrook, I also think about how the Mendel receives a specific amount of money from the city of Saskatoon.
Right.
So I guess that kind of leads to the next question in terms of when you're looking at the funding for this. I mean, one of the galleries you've worked with before on this is the Art Gallery of Sarnia.
Yeah.
And that was a space that did actually get a fairly significant bequest. So do you see, when we're looking at where Rodman will be 6 months from now, a year from now, what is the funding model that you are aiming towards with this? I mean, because the mayor has kind of made it clear that there's not really any other funding for Rodman in this respect. And at the same time, when we're talking about Brock, it seems as though they are looking towards cutting costs, not just in this area, but in others. But also the idea that since they have just opened the Walker and they have just sort of invested that amount, where will the money to sort of make this happen, to make a kind of restructuring, come from?
So we're working through, you know, a number of different models to sort of figure out, you know, what's doable and what's not doable. I mean, when you speak to our federal friends, you know, our representatives in, you know, the community, everybody points towards them as, you know, being our savior, right? And because, you know, when they came in, they announced they were going to be much more art supportive than perhaps the previous government. So, I mean, that's definitely something that's on our horizon. But, you know, it goes back to what exactly the point you're making. There's a distinction between capital and operating. And raising funds for capital is a lot easier, it seems, than raising funds for operations. Even though I believe that I understand where the city is coming from, where the mayor is coming from when it comes to, you know, not wanting to take on yet another institution, because let's face it, they have the Meridian Center, you know, that they have launched, and then they have launched, you know, the Performing Arts Center. And both of these centers, even though, you know, budgets were done up front, people knew what they were going to be into, they have to operate for a number of years for them to understand how much it actually truly costs to operate these types of centers. So I understand where the mayor is coming from. On the other hand, however, and this is where I think, you know, this is the important point, is the arts delivers much more, you know, of an economic impact than some of the politicians give it credit for. For instance, you know, the Sarnia Art Gallery, the Judith and Norman Alex Art Gallery, where we just hosted the 75 masterworks of the Beaverbrook collection for a four-month period, saw 21,000, more than 21,000 people come through the doors in a four-month period. And even though their mandate in Sarnia is different than it is with some other galleries that we deal with, whereby, for instance, their naming gift was attached to a promise that they were to never charge for admission to the art gallery to ensure that everybody in the community could have access to these types of exhibits, we were able to generate, just through gifts in gift boxes, more than $50,000 worth of revenue in those 4 months. So these are unprecedented, you know, kinds of scenarios. And I think, you know, to be quite honest with you, I think we need to take a page out of those type of books. The other thing I've said, Bart, is about performing arts and visual arts. The big difference, I think, and we have clients in both areas, so it's nice to see that. I tell the people in the visual arts sector that they should, you know, really carefully study where the performing arts guys are headed, because performing arts people only have a building and they have a venue. They don't have any revenue, you know, coming out of the gate. They need to sell tickets in order to sustain themselves. And that is a lot of pressure. And I'm sure, I don't know if you have had Steve, you know, on your program or Sarah. I mean, when you launch a performing arts center, everything is fine and everything is great. But in order to get to year 3, 4, or 5, that's when you really understand, you know, like how easy or how tough it's going to be to make these budgets work. And so from my perspective, do I know at this point, can I sort of tell you where the money exactly is going to come from? The perfect model in my mind is to not have all your eggs in one basket, meaning the more funding areas that you can rely on, the better it is. There's a debate always about, oh, you know, should we have, you know, a gift shop? Oh, gift shops don't make money. They may not make money, but people kind of expect it when you go to an art gallery. And particularly certain kind of patrons, you know, want to spend some money on their way out. And so why wouldn't you give them, you know, that kind of opportunity? Art rental, you know, is a perfect example. I mean, when I started out collecting my own art, that's how I was able to afford to get certain paintings on my walls or certain statues in my house on the basis of I could rent it. If I liked it, I could then, you know, pay off the rest and own it. These are the kind of models I think, you know, that should be reintroduced. And I think an art gallery should play a function in that.
So it sounds, in terms of what you're proposing, is something that is more looking at some of the more specifically commercial aspects of cultural spaces. And I don't say that in a pejorative manner, but say when you're talking about art rental or where you're talking about gift shops as well, I think about other public galleries I know that sometimes will even do featured artists from the community within their gift shop from month to month.
Absolutely.
I'm curious if anyone from the Ontario Association of Art Galleries is associated with the consultation process, or if you've talked to anyone from there about how this would go. Or again, just to sort of say, and appreciating too, that not everyone can email you and call you up, because I know that when, say, the Mendel was doing a lot of its brainstorming and a lot of its consultation regarding the Ramey Modern, that you did have to make sure that, you know, you were open and got opinions from people, but it still needs to be a process with an end in sight. So I guess those are my two questions here. If anyone from the Ontario Association of Art Galleries has been consulted on the process, just to sort of offer opinion, because one of the things to consider is that when you talk about current government and the change at a federal level, one of the things that is interesting with the Canada Council is the amount of money that seems to be earmarked for infrastructure for galleries as well. Yeah. But then I guess the other thing too is just to sort of say that if there is someone listening and they do want to make their opinion heard or do want to express either positive or questioning attitudes, how do they go about doing that?
Well, so from my perspective, I know the NAC has obviously been very vocal about, you know, where their position is. And so I think, you know, in particularly, as you wrote in your article, you know, there's a variety of artists have been able, to provide their opinions about that. I believe that when it comes to anybody out in the community, I think a good conduit would be to connect back through Rodman Hall and access, you know, the staff there to provide that opinion. I know that Stuart and I, as we all know, Stuart is leaving Rodman Hall at the end of May, and that will be obviously a big loss. But, you know, Stuart is also going to provide a report back to the advisory board as well as, I guess, you know, the faculty that he reports into regarding, you know, his thoughts around, the last 4.5 years. And I believe, you know, that Stuart, in my mind, has a very, very good view as to where the realities are. Him and I have obviously talked a fair bit, either even before, you know, we got officially engaged, because we both share, you know, this sort of opinion that an art gallery is one of the, and particularly in Rodman Hall's case, is sort of almost like a little bit of a best-kept secret, if you will, but yet it really, really plays a very important role and can play a very important role and should play a very important role in the future. As far as the Ontario Art Galleries Association, we did last year for the Sarnia Art Gallery, we did a consultation with about 10 different art galleries in the province to look at their revenue models and to look at their success as far as sustainability is concerned. So that information is only a year old. And that's very current. So we're drawing from that to sort of help us, you know, come up with this particular model. So we know where a lot of the galleries are getting their funding. And to be quite honest with you, it really varies from community to community. It varies to some galleries, believe it or not, have absolutely zero funding coming out of their community and rely for the majority on sort of being their providing their own existence. Mind you, if you look then at their subsidies, they're actually much higher than they are getting than some of the other galleries. So it really varies from community to community. But we certainly have that information as backup for what it is that we're recommending.
What is the date that we'll see this report completed and presented to the community?
We, as you may appreciate, you know, like our client is Brock University in this particular exercise. So first, I think it's going to go to them in the form of a draft by, it has to be ready by next month, as I indicated. So those will be the first set of eyes that will see this particular report and recommendations. I have to obviously defer to them to sort of find out what process they would like to see around bringing this back to the community. So the short answer on that is I don't know at this point.
And as you say, it is something to consider, because I mean, we're talking about this, and one of the phrases that you've used and I've used is the notion of stakeholders.
Yep.
And Brock is, of course, a stakeholder in this as well.
I think, you know, the role of the art gallery within, you know, the community and within Niagara, for that matter, I think is a very important one. I do believe that it's very prudent, you know, that this discussion is taking place today, even though people may say, yeah, but, you know, why now and not 7 years from now? Well, 7 years from now, it would be too late. The big thing to consider is that current Rodman Hall property, just to get it ready for AODA in 2021, it's going to require a lot of investment. And then if we really wanted to beef up the art gallery function and to make it better functioning, in 2010, they were looking at about a $7 to $8 million investment. With AODA, that maybe bring it up, and to $2016, we're maybe talking about a $10 million investment. To be quite honest with you, I don't think, you know, that is something that Brock signed up for. And particularly, like you said, after making the investment in the Marilyn L. Walker School of Fine and Performing Arts downtown, it's hard to say, okay, well, you just invested $48 million here. Now we need another 10, you know, for the art gallery. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, to be honest.
Just for our listeners, when you say AODA, what exactly is that?
Well, AODA is something to make public spaces accessible for people that are handicapped.
Ah, okay.
And so this is, by the way, every public institution, every public building, including, for instance, City Hall and St. Catharines, will have to deal with these things.
Martin, thank you so much for making time to talk to me on this. And perhaps I will connect with you again, check in, and sort of talk a little further as the situation progresses. But thank you so much for making time to talk to me.
Okay, Bart.
All right, take care.
Thanks. Take care. Bye.